This episode of the Columbia Basin Herald's Studio Basin podcast is brought to you by the Moses Lake Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber works to help businesses in and around Moses Lake flourish through networking opportunities, member-to-member savings for products and services, and connecting businesses with the resources they need to make Moses Lake a wonderful place to live, work, and play. For more information, visit MosesLake.com or call the Chamber at 509-765-7888. Again, that's MosesLake.com or 509-765-7888. Well, good afternoon. It's Friday afternoon that we are recording this podcast, and I'm Charles Featherstone, senior reporter with the Columbia Basin Herald, and I am here with...
Cheryl Schweitzer, senior reporter for the Columbia Basin Herald, and...
And Ian Bavona, sports reporter for the Columbia Basin Herald.
All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things we reported on this week, and then Ian is going to take it away with sports. So first, we are going to talk about the Monday meeting of the Port of Moses Lake Commission. They had a presentation from David Bren. He's the county engineer, about improvements that the county wants to do up in the Larson community. And the A word got mentioned. That's right. The county, according to David Bren, has a plan. I think it's a county plan. I don't think the city's in on this plan. But the county has a plan, a 10-year plan, to do up the improvements to streets and sewers and waters and sidewalks in the Larson neighborhood to prepare Larson to be annexed by the city of Moses Lake. Apparently the talk was on Monday. The Port of Moses Lake has committed to spending roughly $150,000 a year on community projects. It's a matter of goodwill. The first project is supposed to have been a sidewalk from that convenience store to Endeavor Middle School. That apparently has run into some problems and has not been finished, but that has not stopped anybody involved, and so the port was looking for some other projects, and the county came to them and said, hey, we've got these projects we want to do in Larson, sidewalks and things. I think the first project that they are going to engage in will be to remove, I didn't know it was there until David Bren pointed it out, but apparently the old base entrance there on SR 17 by Larson Boulevard, where North Elementary School is now, is apparently going to be targeted for removal. It's blocked off, but it is still visibly quite there. So they would want to do the work on that, turn Larson Avenue into a proper cul-de-sac, make the ingress and egress from North Elementary School a little bit safer. And so yeah, that's what they've got talked about. Allison Williams was very, very interesting. She responded to me about this, saying that there's been annexation has been talked about, and as we have talked about in this office, you can't grow the city of Moses Lake around the Larson community. At some point in time, Larson will need to be brought into the city. But it's going to be interesting to see what comes of this. But she said that there is no plan. There have been some talks, but there is nothing formal, nothing organized, nothing imminent, nothing proposed.
So. Interesting.
At least right now.
So, tell us what got, Cheryl.
Well, I have two, actually.
Okay.
One from the city of Othello, which last year about this time put in a bunch of traffic circles in residential neighborhoods. Actually, they're traffic diamonds. They're shaped like mm-hmm. diamonds rather than circles, but everybody calls them a circle. And the goal was to see if they would slow down traffic in those neighborhoods, which I've been down some of those streets, and people could travel pretty fast down some of them if they were in a hurry. They're a good shortcut from Scutney Springs and Wahida Schools to the middle school and the high school, so parents were. Mm-hmm. And they discovered after a year that, yes, it did slow down traffic in most of those neighborhoods, and it did push traffic over to streets where they wanted traffic to be. Now, what happens next is up to the city council. The council will either put some money in the budget to increase the experiment, maybe make those temporary traffic diamonds into permanent things. That's still up in the air, but the results of the experiment, basically, were that it pretty much did what they thought it might do, which is cut back on the number of traffic going through those residential neighborhoods. A lot of them don't have sidewalks, which was part of the problem. cut back on the traffic going through those residential neighborhoods and slow the traffic down that did go through them. Mm-hmm. And then that's kind of a growth problem. The city of Quincy also is looking at a growth thing. The council on Tuesday night went ahead and decided to go ahead and seek funding for the indoor recreation facility, the Quincy Fieldhouse, which would have, and the council had a bunch of options, however big they wanted. They could go for something that was approximately the size of a football field or half a football field, or build it in phases. And in the end, they decided, nah, let's just build it. It's going to be, going to have room for two or four soccer fields, depending on how many people are playing, and it's about the size of a regular football field. There will also be two basketball courts with markings for basketball, volleyball, and pickleball. It will be in Lozier Park, mm-hmm. which is out by Quincy Innovation Academy. When will it be built and how will they pay for it? Well, that's what the council's kind of working on right now. City officials are going to be looking for public and private funding. They have some of the money. They don't have all of it. So they'll be looking for funding to start gathering money together so they can actually build the thing. And that's kind of where we are on that one.
Okay. And you said you had a second. That was both of those.
That was
both of those. Yes.
I can look through and come up with other stuff if you want.
No, we're good. and just a little bit before we get to sports. Yesterday, the Columbia Basin Development League, they're an organization that promotes the Columbia Basin Project. And the Columbia Basin Project is the big federal irrigation project that makes it possible for us to grow potatoes here in Grant County.
And apples, in fact, the bulk of
the value was apples and grapes for wine. So that's the bulk of the value. It's not the bulk of the produce, but it's the bulk of the value. In fact, most people, I got a hold of a history done by the Bureau of Reclamation of the Columbia Basin Project, and apparently the Grand Coulee Dam was built in order to provide water for the Columbia Basin Project. And that power from the Grand Coulee Dam was just simply a side benefit, but that the dam exists primarily to ensure that there is water to irrigate the region. Anyway, the conference focused on water and the future of water for irrigation and some things that the irrigation districts are doing, and we can probably get to talk about that next week or the next time we do a podcast, at any rate. All right, so we go on to our sports. The next segment of the Studio Basin podcast is brought to you by the readers of the Columbia Basin Herald. The paper serves the entirety of Grant and Adams counties in central and eastern Washington, which has strong traditions in agriculture, industry, and taking care of one another. The Columbia Basin Herald is grateful to our readers for their support and to our advertisers who support our efforts to keep the communities we serve informed. All right, Ian, what's going on?
Well, let's mix it up a little bit. Let's start with local sports.
Yeah, let us start with local sports, because we've been really busy with local sports.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got a couple of big games coming up on Saturday.
It's a very exciting time here in the Basin. We've got a lot of teams competing for state titles. Just to get started, let's go over last week's football playoff results. In the 1B state playoff bracket, Nacelle defeated ACH 64-6. So it's a bit of a rough ending for the Warriors, but I mean, making it to state's an accomplishment in and of itself. Royal got another playoff win. They defeated Cascade Christian 41-7. I know Cheryl was at that game. She wrote a great story about it.
Thank you.
WF West narrowly defeated Ephrata. The number 2 seed, WF West, they won by 1 point over 15 seed Ephrata, who barely made it into the playoffs, but still to put up a fight like that in the first round against one of the top seeded teams, that's quite an accomplishment. And Othello defeated Washington 49-12. So congratulations to the teams that advanced on in the state playoffs, Royal and Othello. Royal is at home this weekend against Montesano, and Othello is traveling to Enumclaw this weekend. So exciting weekend of gridiron action. We're getting towards the end of the season. You know, the stakes are high, but the games are going to be really good. I'm really excited to check out these this weekend. Some other state competitions from the last week. Lynn Ritzville, they placed sixth at the 2B state volleyball tournament in Yakima. They knocked off number 6 Golden Dale. They ended the tournament as an 11 seed. Knocked off number 6 Golden Dale in an upset in the first round. Ended up following to the eventual state championship, LeConnor, in the second round. LeConnor, I think, has won 3 state titles in a row, 4 state titles in a row, something like that. And then they won again in the consolation bracket, but ended up falling to Adna in the 5th and 6th place game. So congratulations to Lynn Ritzville on placing at state. It's a huge accomplishment for them. And then in another state tournament last week, we had the girls swim and dive state tournament over in Federal Way. The Moses Lake Mavericks placed 4th at the tournament, or at the meet. I don't think you really call it a tournament. But they ended up placing 4th after a 7th place finish last year. A 4th place finish in the 400 freestyle relay moved them into 4th place in the final event of the day. So it was a bit exciting. They finished above, I forget which team finished 5th, but they finished above that team in the freestyle relay that helped them move into 4th place. So congratulations to Moses Lake. It's been a great season for them. They've had a lot of accomplishments throughout the year. So that's kind of what we got going on for local sports. We're really getting towards the end of the fall season, but we've got our winter sports preview coming out on Monday, where you can read about all the schools here in the Basin and a couple stories from their teams, kind of what's been going on in the off season, and getting ready for winter sports. I know I'm excited. I'm excited not to stand around in the cold. So definitely not used to that here, but very exciting. I love basketball, so I'm going to be at a lot of basketball games, and of course all the wrestling meets here in the Basin. Just excited to check some of those out. So let's move on to pro sports. Just a quick run through. Seattle, their 4-game winning streak was snapped this weekend. They played in the NFL's first regular season game in Germany, where they lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They lost 21-16. The defense, which was really shining during that 4-game win streak, they allowed 419 yards after not allowing more than 350 yards in their 4 previous wins. It was a bit of a slow start for Seattle. They had only 57 net yards in the first half, in a 5-point loss, you kind of wish that you're able to move the ball a little bit. But, you know, I mean, you're playing in Germany. Sure, it's a bit of a slow start, especially the time difference between going from Seattle to Germany is a little bit different than going from Tampa Bay to Germany. You know, that's 3 hours on top of the whatever difference it is to get there just in general. So. But they're on a bye this week. They're still first place in the NFC West. If the 49ers win this week, they have the tiebreaker. They'll take first place, but they also meet again sometime later down the road this season. So it'll be an exciting journey for the rest of the Seahawks this season. After the bye week, they play the Las Vegas Raiders, who have their struggles of their own, so we'll see if they can win that game. The Seattle Kraken, they also had their winning streak snapped. They had won 5 games in a row, which was the longest in their short franchise history.
This is their second year or their first?
This is their second year.
Okay.
So yeah, their 5-game win streak was set the franchise record. So it's a record-setting year, you could say. They're third place in the Pacific Division right now. They got 21 points. They are behind Las Vegas and Los Angeles. I wrote Las Vegas twice down on my list. They had 2 losses after winning 5 straight. They had a 1-0 loss to Minnesota, where they couldn't score the equalizer late, despite outshooting the Wild in the third period. And then they had a 3-2 loss to the Winnipeg Jets in overtime. But they did bounce back with a home win over the New York Rangers. They won that game 3-2. So the exciting times for the Kraken. We'll see how they keep progressing throughout the next week or so. And then the Mariners, despite it being the offseason, they are back in the headlines. Rookie outfielder Julio Rodriguez was named the American League Rookie of the Year. He is the 5th player in Mariners history to win this award. So the rookie sensation who came up big in all these moments throughout the season, he's being rewarded with a Rookie of the Year title. So that's kind of pretty much what we got going on in sports. I'm looking forward to another exciting week of playoff games and all that good stuff. Yeah, that's pretty much all we got.
All right. Thank you, Ian. Well, the Studio Basin podcast is produced by the Columbia Basin Herald, a local newspaper serving Grant and Adams counties in Washington State. Our publisher is Clint Schroeder, and our regional general manager is Bob Richardson. Our managing editor is Rob Miller. Get better, Rob. And our reporting staff consists of senior reporter Charles Featherstone, senior reporter Cheryl Schweitzer, staff writer and paginator Joel Martin, staff writer Rebecca Pettingill, and sports reporter Ian Bivona. The Columbia Basin Herald is published 5 days a week in print and online. The paper's website is www.columbiabasinherald.com. To provide feedback on the paper or the podcast, please email us at editor@columbiabasinherald.com. Well, for the staff of the Columbia Basin Herald, this is Charles Featherstone. Thank you for listening, and we'll yak at you next week.